شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته، يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أسيد الله سبحانه وتعالى His anyone will be appointed. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passion. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify, O belief, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worth of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. Inshallah, today we going to continue our classes concerning the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective. And we've been dealing with this class since almost last year. And today, inshallah, this is the 10th class for the fourth album. Each album which consists of 12 classes. So we finished 3 albums and we are working in the fourth album. So this is the 10th class for the fourth album. And we've been dealing for the last month in business transactions. And the importance of this subject is very important to us as Muslims, because as we understand that the religion of Islam covers every aspect of our life, and purification of income is something very important in Islam. And this is one of the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask every individual in the day of judgment about his income. How did he earn it and how did he spend it? So, learning about business transaction and what is lawful and what's forbidden concerning income is very important. And this is part of our ibadah, the way how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because worshiping is not only performing the salah. Your dealing between you and the human being, if it's conducted according to the law of Islam, will be a form of ibadah. So the buying and the selling all these things is part of ibadah. And as we said, we already have finished 9 classes, and today in our 10th class we about a new chapter. And this chapter, it comes in the book, which Arabic and English version, comes to be the chapter 9. And still under the term, the book of business and transaction. You will find our class today in page number 309 from the book Bulugh al-Maram. And today we're going to be talking, inshallah, about Babu al-Shirka. Babu al-Shirka wal-Wikalati. Al-Shirka is partnership for one or more to get together and conduct a business. So they have a partnership. And the word Shirka is familiar to you because this is one of the words that we say, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. That there is no partner beside Allah. La sharika lah. When we say that Allah la sharika lah, that means Allah has no partner. Okay? Nobody else beside Allah that we derive our form of worship to. There is no one beside Allah who share with him the ownership of this life or the hereafter. Allah has no partner, has no sharif, that means he has no partner in anything. So we're talking about a sharika, and this means partnership. Partnership can be between two people or three or more. It can be between two communities or two families. Whatever form of partnership or the number that in it. There is different forms of partnership. There is, as example, two people come together and they go using their pepper. As example, go and cut wood. Okay, everybody come with his axe or his saw and cut the wood. Okay, so they're using their effort, their muscles, cutting the wood and selling. Okay, so this is a partnership. They're using their muscles and their effort. Some people they go together in partnership by using their money, buying goods and hiring somebody to sell the goods for them. This is also the partnership. If people get together for partnership, as example, a person comes with the money and the other person will come with his effort, okay, his muscles or his time. Somebody comes with the money and somebody comes with the idea. So whatever, there is a different form of partnership. And this is one of the things that we're going to be talking about, but basically I'll try to identify the meaning of partnership or sharika to you. And the wikala to be wakil, and I'm sure that most of you also familiar with this, because like I understand when somebody go for marriage and ask the sister who's your wakil, okay, or who's your guardian, who's the one who acts in your behalf, okay? So a person who acts in somebody's behalf, this you call him wakil. So today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about sharika and al-wikala, partnership, and acting in somebody's behalf, regardless if you want to act in his behalf, in selling something, or receiving some goods, or giving his daughter in marriage, or whatever it is, okay? So the wikala and acting in somebody's behalf is between what kind of responsibility that your wakil will give to you to act in his behalf. Page number 309 and chapter 9, partnership and agency. There is hadith in the chapter, hadith number 742, reported by Abu Huraira. رضي الله عنه and the hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim. And we're going to leave this hadith alone due to the fact that hadith is not authentic, the hadith is weak. We go to page number 310 and hadith number 743 وعن السائب المخزومي رضي الله تعالى عنه انه كان شريك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل البعثة فجاء يوم الفتح فقال مرحبا بأخي وشريكي رواه احمد وابو داود وابن ماجه. The second hadith was hadith number 743 in page number 310, reported by As-Sa'ib al-Makhzumi, may Allah be pleased with him, and in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, and the hadith is authentic. This As-Sa'ib al-Makhzumi, he used to run a partnership with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the Bi'tha of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became Prophet in the time of Jahiliyyah. So they used to have business together. So he came in the day of Al-Fath, the day the opening, grand opening of Mecca, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took over Mecca. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw him, he welcomed him and said, welcome my brother and my partner. Okay? So, from this hadith, first I read it by Sa'id al-Makhzumi, I was a partner with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the Prophet heard and when the day of conquest of Mecca came, he said, welcome my brother and my partner. Reported by Ahmad and Al-Majah. From this hadith, we understood that the permissibility of having a partnership. And the partnership also was known before Al-Islam. And that Islam came and confirmed it. That means it will become permissible, so the Islam did not refuse it or remove it out of the existence, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he called him his partner and he accepted and he acknowledged the relationship that it was. And we understand from this also that a Muslim should keep holding dear the honest and the good relationship that needs to be between him and other people, because this partnership was between this man and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before Islam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he welcomed him, he mentioned this kind of relationship that used to be with him before Islam. This teaches us that when you have a good relationship between you and a person, honorable relationship between you and a person, that you should hold it in respect and honor. And we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, welcome my brother and my partner, so that means the man is Muslim. Otherwise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not going to call him my brother, and he is a prophet. So from this hadith we learn that permissibility of having a partner should, and that is okay in Islam. The second hadith in our subject for today, hadith number 744, and reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Nisa'i, and we're going to leave the hadith alone due to defect
في حديث الزوج. حديث نمبر 745 عن جابر ابن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: أردت الخروج إلى خيبر فأتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: إذا أتيت وكيلي بخيبر فخذ منه 15 وفقا. رواه أبو داود وصححه. This hadith, which is reported by Jabir, son of Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of the Imam Abu Dawood, and the hadith is authentic, that narrated from Jabir ibn Abdullah, I intended to go to Khaybar. So I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or I stopped by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before I leave. So he told me, when you meet my agent, my wakil, okay? When you see my wakil in Khaybar. So take from him 15 outfits. And he said that is the form of measurement, which is 60 sa'a. And we said the sa'a is 4 hands full. Rice, wheat, date, whatever, putting your 2 hands together and fill it 4 times, this will be 1 sa'a. So the sa'a is 4 hands full. And the output is 60. So he said to him, when you go and see my agent, okay, the one who's been acting in my behalf in Khaybar, receive from him this amount, okay, of food. From this hadith, we understand the permissibility of having a person acting in your behalf, regardless whatever you're going to make him acting in behalf in what. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has one of his agents, one who is wakil in Khaybar, and he's collecting the zakah from the Jewish, or collecting the, what we call the jizya, from the Jews, or collecting the zakah from the Muslim there. And he has this there in stores. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him to person to collect this. And it is very important that when a Muslim deal in transaction like this, that they have what we call in Arabic amara, or a sign, or a signal, or whatever it is. They don't have this means of fast communication in that time. So, and even if you have a fast means of communication today, we already knew how people, they get on the internet, and even they send stuff and enter other people, what you call, web pages or saving, or he went through the bank, he went through the everything. So it's good that you make a sign between you and the person. Like, as example, that something that nobody knows except him and you, to be a sign. Like, I say, tell him, my name is so and so, and I'm coming here to cash $1,000, and he gives you a sign, you understand that the zucchini or the squash. Okay, that we throw in the trash. That means he ate something and was spoiled, and they got sick over it, so it became like a story between them. Okay? Or whatever sign that he may give it to them, that the person in the other side of town, he will know that this person actually coming acting in so and so behalf, not to be fooled by somebody, because somebody may be fooled. You talking with somebody, say, okay, I'll send you somebody next week to get up the car. So So now next week he will go and swing by and say, Sansa, say, give me the car. So it should be always to have, you understand, like a safe luck over this situation by giving a sign and a signal. Also from this hadith we understand that the Amir or the head of the state has a right and he can vote somebody to act in his behalf in another town or another city or things like this. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, when you go, okay, and you meet my wakil, a person who acts in my behalf, okay. So that means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a wakil and he brought him in a charge to act in his behalf. The next hadith, inshallah, hadith number 746, page number 311, وعن عروة الباروكي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثه بدينار ليشتري له أضحية. الحديث. So this hadith we have talked about it before, but the hadith, since it came here in the chapter, because we're talking about having somebody acting in your behalf, in wakala, is what we call to be wakil, and what we carrying called wakala. So the wakala is the agency itself, and the wakil is the guardian or the person who is acting in your behalf. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave Urwa al-Baraqi to Dinar and he asked him to buy a sacrifice for him, the female animal, so he can sacrifice it in the day of Eid. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not go to buy the udhiyah by himself, but he sent somebody to act in his behalf. And from this hadith, that means we understand that wakala or agency to get somebody to act in your behalf is permissible. It can be done for buying, and also it is permissible for the udhiyah, as example, that a person to buy the udhiyah in your behalf. That is the job of the wakil to do his best to fulfill your requirements, to act in your the best of your interest, okay? And that he is a trustworthy person, is supposed to be honest and to take care of this amana and this trust that is given to him to do the best that he can. And we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given this person a dinar, he mentioned before in another chapter, and what he did, he went and he bought two lambs for one dinar, and he sold one with one dinar, and he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a lamb and dinar. Okay? So actually, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he bought him to act in his behalf and to do what? To buy the sacrifice lamb. So what he did, he went and he bought it, but after this he found opportunity that he can make the act in his behalf. And this also is permissible concerning the zakah. That means the imam himself does not have to collect the zakah by himself. He can send somebody to be his representative who collected the zakah from the people. Also from this hadith we understand the permissibility of giving the zakah to the person who is acting in behalf of the imam, okay, or the amir, the head of the state, alright? So, does not have to be the imam himself to come to your house. The imam can vote somebody to act in his behalf, and when this person comes, it is your obligation to give it to him. Now, if the agent that you brought him to act in your behalf went to do whatever that you asked him to do, and he was not able to do it, this is not his responsibility. Okay? This is not his responsibility. As example, if you bought somebody to act in your behalf to buy you a car, and when he went there, that this was a holiday, and there is no action. He's not responsible, I understand, to go and get you a car by force. Okay? Or that you send him to collect your loan. Somebody borrow money from you, and you send this person to collect this loan from you. And the person refused to give it to him. Okay? Although he knows that he's your agent, but he refused to give it to him, this still is not your responsibility. From this hadith, we understand also that when we bought people, especially when we're talking about money, okay, that we select the trustworthy people. That we select the trustworthy people. We don't send people that may collect the zakah, eat half of it, and bring it the other half. Okay? Or that will hide some of it. And we see that Rasulullah, he chose who? He chose Umar. Okay? We understand who's Umar, radiallahu anhu. So, when you choose somebody to act in your behalf, especially about money and things like this, you choose a trustworthy person. Hadith number 748. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نحر 63 وأمر عليا رضي الله تعالى عنه أن يذبح الباقي. الحديث رواه مسلم. This hadith which reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, رضي الله عنه. The hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic with no doubt, inshallah. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sacrificed, slaughtered with his own hand 63 sacrificial camels. And after this, he commanded Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, to finish the rest of them. Okay? So, this also again shows that permissibility to get an agent, a person to act in your behalf, to play the sacrifice. Okay? You don't have to do it yourself, which is better that you do it. If there are a lot, that you should at least do some of them, and after this, because this is a big job, you understand? And this hadith shows us the strength of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to sacrifice 63 with his own hand, this is a lot of zeal. But this shows you that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a strong man. To such a degree that he, in the battlefield, when it gets very bad, the Sahaba used to come and hide behind him. You see? The Sahaba used to use him like a shield, a shelter for them. Okay? One day, there was a big news, a big noise happened during the night. So the Sahaba, when the blues was in, they jumped out of their bed and they got out of their houses to see what's going on. But the moment they stepped outside, they found the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already coming back. That means he moved them to the nose on his horse with no saddle. He did not have time to walk to put the saddle down all this. He jumped in the horse and he went and he's already back. You see, by the time everybody got and stand, but his clothes on, tried to see what's going on and all these things, they found the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming by himself. So, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, this also shows the generosity of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his strength, the principality of having agent or a person to act in your behalf to do the sacrifice. and that it's better to do at least to do part of it, because this is will be better, and this is the sunnah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. The next and the last hadith in that chapter, hadith number 749, عن أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه في قصة العسير قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم واغدو يا أني على امرأة هذا فإن اعترفت فرجمها. الحديث متفق عليه. Hadith reported by Abu Huraira, the hadith in the collection of the Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim. So the hadith is authentic. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Unais concerning this woman that has committed illegal sex, that a man who's a shepherd or owner of sheep and land and palm trees, he had hired a man to work for him, and in the end of the story that this man had committed illegal sex with his wife. So what happened here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sending somebody to act in his behalf, and he told him, go to this lady, okay, the woman, the wife of this man, and ask to her, and if she confesses, okay, if she admits that she did this, so turn her to this. So also this shows us that the imam can both somebody to act in his behalf, to gather information, and he can put somebody in his behalf to carry the capital back to punishment, that he doesn't have to do it himself, okay? And acknowledgement or confession itself would be sufficient evidence, okay? So in a case like this, you are not going to need four witnesses. Is the guilty party admit him or herself, you don't need witnesses in this case, okay? So, and if one of the two partners who commit this illegal sin admitted it, so the punishment will be for the person who admits, but does not mean the second partner who is involved can be punished also, because the confession of the one party does not apply to the second. So as example, if you have a male and female committed illegal sex, and let's say as example that the woman had admitted her crime, so in this case she will get the capital punishment, but if the man denies, you could not give him the capital punishment, okay? So the confession will be what will be only will make the punishment applying only to the person who acknowledges it or admits it, but does not apply to the other person, okay? Also from this hadith we understand that the person who is married or being married, if they commit illegal sex, that their punishment is what? To be stoned to death. The imam does not have to be present while the capital punishment is taking place, okay? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had brought this man to act in his behalf, and he told him, go, Hunayt, and if she confesses, turn her to death. Okay, so the Prophet is not going to be witness there, so there's no need for the imam to be present, the head of the state, okay? And condition for establish the capital punishment that it has to be Khalifa or the Imam of the state. Okay, you could not go 50 people, 100 people, 1,000 people go together and now they form so-called community and now they can go and carry the capital punishment. You could not do this. Especially if you live under a non-Islamic government. And if you live in an Islamic government, you still you could not do it without the permission of the head of this country, otherwise will be a confusion by people, everybody carrying the law in their hands. Chapter number 10, and this concerning confession, Bab al-Iqrar. Bab al-Iqrar, that a person to confess or to admit their own mistakes or their own guilt or their own crime. Okay? Voluntarily. This in page number 311, hadith number 750, عن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قل الحق ولو كان مرا. That the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to me, that means to Abu Dhar, say the truth or admit to the truth even if you be thirsty. Say the truth, even though it is hard. Okay? As I said again, confession or to admit to something that a person to inform about himself, telling the truth regardless if there is evidence of no. And in this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraging the person to admit to the truth, regardless whatever, okay, how ugly it is or how embarrassing it is or the things that the person to admit to the truth. Nevertheless, that a person does not have to go and expose his or his soul, okay, that if a person commit a crime and nobody saw him, so now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover him, so he shouldn't go and expose himself. He or she should ask Allah's forgiveness and repent from it. But if it comes, he understands that the matter has been taken to the Imam and things been exposed and things like this, and a person can admit to the truth, will be good. This is the only hadith that in this chapter, and as I said, I try to take to whatever a hadith that in the book, not to go any further, because sometimes when we go in other a hadith which related to the subject, it may take us out of the purpose, the goal of trying to cover this book, Bulugh al-Maram. So inshallah we go to the next chapter, which chapter number 11, concerning Bab al-Ariyah, the chapter of al-Ariyah. Al-Ariyah is the thing that he gives to the other person as a trust or as a loan. It does not have to be money, okay? And giving you something to utilize it and to benefit out of it. Okay? So the first hadith, which hadith Samra ibn Jundub, and hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad and al-Hakim and others, we then just leave this hadith alone due to the fact that hadith is as a defect, that the hadith is weak. Then to the second hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أدوا الأمانة إلى من ائتمنك ولا تخن من خانك. Okay. حديث بل أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه بجزهم الحديث the conviction of the Imam Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi and al-Hakim. The hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, give the amana or return back what you've been trusted to the person who has trusted you, and don't betray the person who has betrayed you. Okay? So an amana is whatever the person has given to you as a trust, to keep it for him. As example, if a person going for Hajj, you don't have a secure, safe house, you have $1,000, or have a car, whatever, so he said to you, would you mind to keep this $1,000 for me until I come back? So this is called amana, or a trust. Okay? So a person should do his best to trust or to protect this trust. So you don't go and leave it in the kitchen table, as example. Okay? But if it's your $1,000, you're not going to leave it in the kitchen table. Go out and leave the door open. Okay? And that's a good somebody come and steal it, or the kid take the pay, or this $100 paper plane with it. And when you come back to some story, the kids understand crooked, and but if it's your $1,000, you know where you're going to put it. Huh? You're going to go and open the mattress, huh? And stick it all the way in between the wires and, okay? So you have to do this with the same thing as the people when they give you something. Okay? So you have to treat this thing, the people give it to you for a trust. Same way like you treat anything that belongs to you. Not to neglect it, okay? Make sure you close the door. The same way like what you do. And let's assume that for some reason, the person that who left this $1,000 with you had betrayed you, had played games in you some time ago. So, okay, good now. I got him now, okay? So when you come back from Hajj, or from his journey, whatever, okay, brother, Jazakallah khair, and Akhi, can you give me my money back? Said, what money, man? So I looked at him, okay, yeah, oh. So, okay, you know what? I really understand, I'm sorry, I understand. Oh, what's left, you understand, it's only $600, I don't know, and I left it here, and I think I understand. I left the window for the kitchen open and window broke, and I think 200 fall in the garbage can. I didn't pay attention, and I took the trash, I threw it, and I didn't remember until the next day, and after this the trash truck came already and took it and gave him this long story. But in actuality it didn't happen. Okay? But you remember that 2 years ago that he lent you his car, or that whatever it is, something happened to him, you say, oh no, it's time to get him back, and whatever he did to my car, now I'm going to do it. So don't be this kind of person, and if a person did something wrong to you, you don't have to wrong him back. Hadith, we understand that a person should guard whatever things that can trust it to him, and that he should return it back in the proper way, in the complete form like he received it, to the best of his ability, and that the khiyana and to betray the people is haram, is not from the manner of Muslims. Was Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give back what has been trusted to you to him who trusts you, and do not cheat him who cheats you. Cheat you. Okay? Let me put it in my English better, okay? return the trust back to whom he had trusted you and don't betray whoever had betrayed you. Okay? Yeah. We always have to learn how to be better than others, understand, and set ourselves a good example for others, inshallah, not to be always. Although that Islam, if you understand, somebody harm you by any means, you can harm him back, but you can harm him equal. And sometimes it's very difficult to be easy. Okay, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say eye to eye and tooth to tooth and like this. But you may try to bunch somebody, understand, and instead of he bunch you in your eye and now you're halfway blind, so when you bunch him, you're going to make him completely blind. So this thing is not easy really to say, he betrayed me, understand, in this car, I had to betray him in this car. But maybe understand this motor cost you, understand, $100, and the other motor cost. So we, especially when it comes between you and another Muslim, that you always try to have the means of forgiveness and patience, trusting on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what Islam is about, how we learn to forgive. And we believe in the day of the judgment. So if you could not get it in this dunya, you know that there is a akhirah. Okay? So you're going to be always trying to get everything here. Okay? And sometimes dealing with the people in a better manner, better fashion, express in their heart and make them acknowledge their faults and their mistakes and calmly understand and they try to make up again about what they do. Next hadith, hadith number 753, وعن يعلى ابن أمية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتت رسلي تعطهم 30 جرعة. قلت يا رسول الله عارية مضمونة أو عارية مؤداة؟ قال بل عارية مؤداة. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي وصححه ابن حبان. حديث باي أبو يعلى. The حديث in the collection of the Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood والنسائي and Ibn Hibban, and the hadith is authentic. Dira' is like what you call nowadays bulletproof vest. Okay? This is the only way I can describe it to you. Okay? So the aria, the thing that you leave it to the people, there is two types of aria. Aria that you give it to him, and if he lose it, or he misses, place it that you have to give him an equal amount of money, okay, to what he had lent to you. Alright? There is a sub of aria, you give it to the person to use it, and if he lost it, there is no problem. Okay? And there is an aria, you give it to him to use it, if it feels good, he has to give you the same after he used it, and if he moves, the same thing that you give it to him, he has to return what? An equal thing to earth, or he pays the money. This is the two types of aria, or loan. I don't know if, what is the word in English, because loan I feel like a word related mostly to money. Yeah? But what you give me, as example, let's say that you give me a microphone. Yeah, but what is the loan? So the loan doesn't only in money. Okay. Excuse my ignorance and my English. So, during this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had met and he came. When my messengers come to you, give them 30, what you call, 30 what? Yeah. Where did the hadith go? Okay. Narrated this. يعني ابن أمية من الله بوجود him is the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم to promote when my messengers come to you. Give them 30 cords of hair. I ask all messenger of Allah, is it known with guarantee of its return?
So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cover him so he shouldn't go and expose himself. He or she should ask Allah's forgiveness and repent from it. But if it comes, you understand that the matter has been taken to the Imam and things been exposed and things like this, and a person can admit to the truth, will be good. This is the only hadith that this chapter and the other third applies to talk to whatever a hadith that's in the book, not to go any further. Because sometimes when we go in other ahadith which are related to the subject, it may take us out of the purpose or the goal of trying to cover this book, Bulugh al-Maram. So inshallah we go to the next chapter, which chapter number 11, concerning Bab al-Ariyah, the chapter of al-Ariyah. Ariyah is a thing that he gives to the other person as a trust or as a loan. Does not have to be money, okay? And giving you something to utilize it and to benefit out of it, okay? So the first hadith, which hadith Samra ibn Jundub, and hadith in the collection of Imam Imam Ahmad and Al-Hakim and others, we don't just leave this hadith alone due to the fact that hadith is as a defect, that the hadith is weak. Then to the second hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أد الأمانة إلى من ائتمنك ولا تقل من خانك. Okay. Hadith by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of the Imam Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim. The hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, give the amana or return that what you've been trusted to the person who has trusted you, and don't betray the person who has betrayed you. Okay? So an amana is whatever the person has given to you as a trust. He keep it for him as a gamble, if a person going for Hajj, you don't have a secure safe house, you have $1,000, or you have a car, whatever, so he said to you, would you mind to keep this $1,000 for me until I come back? So this is called amana, or a trust, okay? So a person should do his best to trust or to protect. This is trust. So we don't go and leave it in the kitchen table, as example. Okay? But if it's your $1,000, you are not going to leave it in the kitchen table. Go out and leave it in the door open. Okay? And that's just somebody come and steal it, or the kids take the this $100 paper plane with it, and when he come back to say, I'm sorry, the kids are misconstructed, and but if it's your $1,000, you know where you're going to put it. Huh? You're going to go and open the mattress, huh? And stick it all the way in between the wires and, okay? So you have to do this with the same thing with the people when they give you something. Okay? So you have to think this thing
the people get the fear for a class, mm-hmm. Same way like you treat anything that belongs to you. It's not neglected, okay? It should close the door, the same way like what you do. And let's assume for some reason, the person that who lost this $1,000 with you had betrayed you, had played games with you some time ago. So, okay, good now. I got him now, okay? So when you come back from Hajj, or from his journey, whatever, okay, brother, Jazakallah khairan, akhi, can you give me my money back? What money, man? So I look at him, okay, yeah, oh. So, say, you know what? I really understand now. I'm sorry, I understand. Oh, what's left, you understand, is only $600. I don't know, and I left it here, and I think I understand. I left the window for the kitchen open, and window broke, and I think 200 fall in the garbage can. I didn't pay attention, and I took the trash, I threw it, and I didn't remember until the next day, and after this, the trash truck came already on 30 and gave him this long story. But in actuality, he didn't have it. Okay? But you remember that 2 years ago, that he lent you his car, or that whatever it is, something happened to him, you say, oh no, it's time to get him back, and whatever he did to my car, now I'm going to do it. So don't be this kind of person, and if a person did something wrong to you, you don't have to wrong him back. Hadith, we understand that a person should guard whatever things that can trust it to him, and that he should return it back in the proper way, in the complete form like he received it, to the best of his ability, and that the khiyana and to betray the people is haram, is not from the manner of Muslim. Was Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give back what has been trusted to you to him who trusts you, and do not cheat him who cheats you. Cheat you. Okay? Let me get it in my English better, okay? Return the trust back to whom he has trusted you, and don't betray whoever had betrayed you. Okay? Yeah. We always have to learn how to be better than others, understand, and set ourselves a good example for others, inshallah, not to be always. Although that Islamically understand somebody harm you by any means, you can harm him back, but you can harm him equal. And sometimes it's very difficult to be even. Okay, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say eye to eye and tooth to tooth and like this. But you may try to bunch somebody, understand, and instead of he bunch you in your eye and now you're halfway blind, so when you bunch him, you're going to make him completely blind. So this thing is not easy really to say, he betrayed me, understand, in this car, I have to betray him in this car. But maybe understand this motor cost you, understand, $100, and the other motor cost. So we, especially when it comes between you and another Muslim, that you always try to have the means of forgiveness and patience, trusting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what Islam is about, how we learn to forgive. And we believe in the day of the judgment, so if you could not get it in this dunya, you know that there is a akhirah, okay? So you're going to be always trying to get everything here, okay? And sometimes dealing with the people in a better manner, better fashion, it strengthens their heart and makes them acknowledge their faults and their mistakes and calmly understand and they try to make up again about what they do. Next hadith number 753. وعن يعلى ابن أمية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتت رسلي أعطهم 30 جرعة قلت يا رسول الله أعارية مضمونة أو عارية مؤداة؟ قال بل عارية مؤداة. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي وصححه ابن حبان. حديث باي أبو يعلى ذا حديث إذا كوليكشن وفي الإمام أحمد عند أبو داود والنسائي عند ابن حبان عند حديث أوثنتي. الدرع is like what you call nowadays bullet proof vest. Okay, this is the only way I can describe it to you. Okay, so the area, the thing that you lend to the people, there is two types of area. Area that you give it to him, and if he moves it or he misplaces it, that you have to give him an equal amount of money, okay, to what he had lent to you. Alright, there is a type of area you give it to the person to use it, and if he lost it, there is no problem. Okay, and there is an area you give it to him to use it. If it's still there, he has to give you the same after he uses it, and if he moves the same thing that you give it to him, he has to return what an equal thing to it, or he pays the money. This is the two type of area or loan. I don't know if what is the word in English, because loan I feel like a word related mostly to money. Yeah? But what you give me as example, let's say that you give me a microphone. Yeah, but what is the loan? So the loan doesn't only in money. Okay. Excuse my ignorance and my English. So, during this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not and retained when my messenger comes to you, give them 30 what you call 50 what? Where did the hadith go? Okay. Narrated this. Ya'la ibn Umayyah, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, when my messenger